This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoors and Radio Show, and we talk about fishing and hunting and the great outdoors. And we hope that, you know, you're taking it easy today. If you're going out there, if you plan on doing a day of fishing, stay out of the boat. And if you, you know, if you're going hunting, well, just about the only thing left is snow geese, you know, so they're going to be flying pretty quick. If you that'd be a challenging shot. Yeah. So, you know, good luck out there. And if you're on your way, do me a favor. Give us a call here at 410-WCBM-680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. And you're certainly welcome to... Whoa, wait a minute. What was that? Okay. You're certainly welcome to give us a call, and we'll be more than glad to have a conversation. There's not much wildlife out along the highway today. Didn't see any deer, any foxes. The only wild things I saw were Paul and Natalie on their trailer down there in Savannah Park. But
it's too cold.
For what?
For the animals to be out. They might get blown off the street.
No, it's not that. It's full moon and the wind. Full moon and the wind.
Yeah.
I mean, they're outside already.
Yeah, I know.
You know, I mean, they're already out. Side, but talked to Tom Slavin the other day at Upper Bay Gun Club. He was along on a rabbit hunt on Wednesday.
Okay,
and I'll tell folks more about that in a minute. But he said he listened to the moon, you know, full moon. He was listening outside the other night, and he heard widgeon. What did he tell me? Canada's swans. And something else headed north.
Smorgasbord of
waterfowl.
Yep.
Leaving, you know, going back north. So, I don't know. Might be a little early. Usually, it's like the end of March. Everything is gone, but you know.
Well, there, you know, the animals are head. The geese and everything are flying north, and there's other things that are saying, you know, spring's not that far away.
Not that far away. That's
true.
What,
3 weeks, I think, or two weeks.
Yeah, so they say.
Yeah, so they say. But so we've also had snow on opening day, too. So anything's possible in the wonderful state of Maryland.
Opening day, we've had 90 degrees. Mm-hmm. We've had snow. We've had just about everything.
Yeah, typical
Maryland.
Now,
you're talking about some other... You're talking about a sport...
Well, baseball, but still. I know.
Yeah, I mean, hunting in NASCAR requires two balls. But... anyway... 410-WCBM-680 is our phone. Shut you right up, didn't it? Sorry, folks. It's been a long drive. I was a little worried about getting here, actually.
Sure.
Yeah, I called the Bay Bridge information line last night, and they said the westbound lanes are closed. The eastbound lanes are open, you know, but one lane's getting through eastbound, one lane's getting through westbound, both of them using the eastbound lane. 20 to 30 minute alternating, you know.
Yeah, and I think they're supposed to lift the high wind warning somewhere around 6. At least that's the last thing I heard.
But. That would be good. We'll check on that when we come back at 6 o'clock. But I came across, you know, westbound span, the center lane was closed in both directions, but both spans were open. Not a lot of traffic. Tractor trailers backed up past Dominion Road, you know, from the coming west.
Sure.
So they were just all sitting there waiting, you know. They can wait a couple hours, and I don't know that it'll throw them way off their schedule, but guess what? It's better than flipping off the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So... anyway, it's going to be an interesting morning because it's, you know, February, March on the Outdoors and Radio Show, not a lot going on. People want to talk about, you know, going perch fishing and that kind of stuff, and that's all fine and good. Perch are running, from what I hear. yellow and white perch are both doing pretty good at this point, according to the DNR fishing report. But, you know, General Assembly's in full session. Anybody want to talk about anything in the General Assembly? We'll discuss that and go from there. I can teach people how to go on the Maryland General Assembly website and find a bill they're looking for if they want, you know, particularly hunting and fishing or whatever. But there's some movement on a couple of bills we're watching. There's some testimony coming up this week, the 7th, in the House. The House Environmental Matters Committee is the Sunday hunting provision.
Okay.
And it's sponsored by, I can never say his name, Anderton, Delegate Anderton, and others. And that will be heard Wednesday, 1 o'clock. We would invite anybody to listen, that's listening and would like to go to Annapolis and sit in the gallery. Show support for Sunday hunting. If you'd like to do that, you're welcome to do so. Then it'll be in the, we heard in the Senate on the 13th, in the Senate, whatever that is, Environmental, Education, you know, Committee. And, you know, we've been down there a couple times this year, and we discussed, I guess, at length with Steve Keithley last week about the night shooting bill and what that's all about. That actually moved to the Senate floor, the Senate committee where we testified last week. It moved that bill out favorable. Got a 7-4 vote, something like that. So that moved out to the full Senate. And that should be an interesting debate in the Senate. We'll see how that goes. That's coming up probably Monday. Probably Monday we'll be talking to about the Senate floor fight and all their shenanigans on how to advance or keep a bill from being advanced. So we'll see what happens. Eventually it has to move to vote, you know. So didn't get a lot of sleep last night. Yeah,
you were antsy. Full moon.
The full moon and the wind and, yeah, I mean, all that, you know.
And plus you knew that the drive up here was
the drive up here was a nervous thing. Yeah, you know, a little nervous about that. But, you know, all is well. So what we need to make a successful show is phone callers.
Yes.
People to call us at, you know, 922-6680. So anyway, all right. Well, politics is politics. But in Texas, it's a whole different deal. This is out of Austin. This is a story from, what is it? The Dallas News, online, powered by the Dallas Morning News. It's got a, it says, talk about big bucks. Deer semen donations are fueling the South Texas campaign. You heard me right. I don't have to repeat it. Donations of deer semen, one of Texas deer breeders' most precious commodities, account for more than half of the contributions to a South Texan's state house campaign. Anna Lisa Garger, a Starr County District Court judge, is challenging Rio Grande City Democrat Brian Guillen for the District 31 seat he's held for 8 terms. So he's been there a long time. According to her last campaign finance report, Garza received $36,500 in monetary donations and $51,000 in in-kind donations, which were usually in the form of campaign advertising, polls, or food and venue space for events. In Garza's case, the contributions were listed as individual donations of deer semen straws from deer breeders. Each deer semen straw from bucks with names like Gladiator Sunset and Sweet Dreams and Bandit. I'm not sure their mothers called them that. I think they were nicknamed that by their people who own the deer in captive deer farms. These are not free-ranging public trust wild resources like we have here in Maryland. Was assigned a $1,000 value. Okay. According to her campaign finance report, a straw refers to a container of ejaculate that's stored for later use. Breeders market their deer's antler size and shape as reasons to buy straws from their bucks. Uvalde deer breeder Fred Gonzalez said the donor straws went into a semen tank to be sold as one lot at the Texas Deer Association event last month and donated to her campaign. Gonzalez, the treasurer of the Texas Deer Association, donated one straw to the lot. Generous guy. He said the deer breeding community often donates straws instead of money, although not usually directly to a political campaign. I don't suspect they drove to her house and handed her a cooler full of deer straws. I doubt it. Semen is a very common way for us to donate, he said. One collection in a buck could lead to 60 straws sometimes. If you have a desirable animal, it's a way to bring value without breaking the bank. Texas Deer Association's Political Action Committee has received $976,025 in deer semen donations between 2006 and 16. It's given $885,695 to campaigns and interest groups in the same span. According to expenditure reports between 2006 and 2016, the PAC has never given in-kind donations in the form of deer semen, just cash. So they didn't drive to her house with a cooler. Though the straws donated to Garza were sold at Texas Deer Association event, the organization's political action committee did not contribute to her campaign. So, the association's PAC has contributed $885,000, campaigns and interest groups in the last 10 years, top 10 candidates who have received money. Representative Ernest Bales, $45,000. Representative Lyle Larson, $26,600. Lance Gooden, $21,200. House Speaker Joe Strauss, $21,000. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, $20,000. Comptroller Glenn Hagar, $16,000. Senator Juan Hinojosa, $13,500. Representative Todd Hunter, $13,000. Representative Brian Guillen, $12,750. Senator Craig Estes, $12,500. Gonzalez said he didn't know how much the straws sold for, how much money was distributed to Garza's campaign. This guy's a treasure. Hold on a second here. I'm calling something on this.
Yeah, I was about to say, it's a little shady there.
Gonzalez said he didn't know how much the straws sold for or how the money was distributed to Garza's campaign. I'm the campaign treasurer. I mean, I'm the treasurer.
And yet, I don't know.
I'm
clueless about the money.
Yes, yes. Sergeant Schultz.
Sounds like Baltimore City. They don't know where the money goes.
They have no clue.
So, you know.
Was that like $90 million in
something
the past
like
administration?
That, yep.
Went to
they
education. Big vanished.
Disappeared.
Me money. Not know.
No, me corrupt. Money corrupts.
Power corrupts, yep. Absolutely. He said the way he understood it,
Oh, yeah, yeah. His take on it.
Yeah,
it was.
Whatever price the collective lot of deer semen brought at the auction would go to her campaign. That's what he said. But her campaign finance report shows the individual straw donations from deer breeders rather than one sum.
Something's fishy.
Politics in Texas. Nothing at all like Maryland.
No.
Buckwood. How'd you like to have that name? Buckwood. He's an Austin-based campaign finance and ethics attorney. Says he's unsure why the donations were classified as in-kind. If the straws were sold at auction, the money was given to Garza's campaign.
The plot thickens.
The giver of the straws had been in-kind donation. What the hell would she do with them? But the giver of the straws. Yeah. That would be an in-kind donation, Wood said. But if they sold them and converted it to cash, that's just a straight donation from whoever owned the property. As long as the money value is accurate and it doesn't create an ethical problem by labeling the donations as in kind, Wood said. They still put their name down as donors, and the fact they call it in kind and it isn't probably isn't important. Let me repeat that. This is attorney speaking. They still put their name down as donors, and the fact that they call it in kind and it isn't probably isn't important. He said the only time in-kind is important when you can't estimate the value of the in-kind contribution. And if you're lost on this and listen to this Outdoorsman radio show, join the club.
That's right. Typical politics.
Yes. The Garza campaign did not respond to requests for comment. Garza has served as a district court judge in Starr, Jim Hogg, and Duval. Jim Hogg County?
Jim Hogg, Buckwood.
Jim, what was it? What was it? Boss Hog.
Yes.
That was Dukes of Hazzard,
yep.
Right?
Yes, the Dukes TV show Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. So there's Star, Starr County, mm-hmm. Jim Hogg County, and Duval Counties for the last 7 years. This is where she's the district judge, okay? She faces an uphill battle in the primary against Guillen, who didn't have a Republican challenger in his last two elections and received 100% of the primary and general election vote. That usually is the way that works when you don't have a challenger.
Yeah.
Guillen raised $101,775 in the last filing period and has $662,000 cash in hand. Yes, indeed. Gonzalez said he supports Garza because she understands deer breeders' impact in the Texas economy. And you know what?
What?
She's probably right. You see these TV shows about deer hunting in Texas?
Mm-hmm.
These are pretty much all high fence areas, although they high fence thousands of acres. The deer roam wild in there. But there are deer breeders who, you know, have selectively bred a bunch of these deer that generate tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars to the landowner who sells the hunts, you know, and guides the hunts and lets people shoot these terrific deer in Texas. But he said, I grew up where she grew up. I hunted with her husband, he said. Some people don't like deer breeders. Some people don't understand the benefit we provide to Texas and the small landowners. He added, the straws of deer semen do not have to physically be at the auction to be bought or sold. That's a good thing.
Yes. Don't want it to spoil.
Well, you don't want the auctioneer to stand up there with, you know, a couple of straws in his hand and say, this is lot number 321 from breeder such and such and so, and hold that in his hot little hand. And
you know. They destroy everything. That's what I'm saying.
I'm just trying to think how the deer, I guess they probably just write it down on a piece of paper and then they auction it off.
Or take a picture of it and put the numbers up and say.
Oh, they could do that. They could take it.
Yeah, they
could
just take a picture. They do with the antiques.
Yeah. They could possibly do that, yeah. But, I mean, how many, don't pretty much all deer straws look alike? How are you going to, I mean, you know. Or maybe it's the picture of the deer that they put up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, this giant monster, what, Star Commander, what, whatever the hell he named the deer, you know. Gladiator, you know, whatever.
And six straws associated
six
with
six straws
him.
Associated with this fine specimen right here. 23-point buck. Scores 281 6/8 Boone and Crockett inches.
Starting bid.
Yes. Anyway, they don't have to be physically at the auction because the semen must be stored frozen.
Mm-hmm.
Straws reside in places around the state that have liquid nitrogen on
hand. It's the same thing for humans.
Yeah, and personnel who know how to properly transport deer semen straws, mm-hmm. you know. It's just like frozen
human.
Well, that's
samples.
True.
It's the same thing. Know. They've got to keep it deep freeze.
Crab meat, too. It's treated with liquid nitrogen, you know. So when people buy straws, Gonzalez explained, they have the straws transferred to their, quote, account. You don't move semen around. That's dangerous. I'm just reading what the guy said.
Reading what the press release says.
It says, I don't have to repeat it. The Texas Deer Association has not responded to a request for comment time of publication. So we're just putting this all out here, this information, and nobody's commented on, but we seem to know this as a fact because we've been following this story in depth. From start to finish.
Is there a program like that similar to that in Maryland? Okay.
Not allowed to breed deer in Maryland.
Oh, okay.
Nope. Not allowed to transport deer in. Not allowed to keep a captive deer in Maryland. Probably a good thing.
Well, that I know about. But as far as...
Nope. Closest deer breeders are in Pennsylvania, right across the border.
Gotcha.
I mean, right across the border, like Gettysburg.
Okay.
You know, there's a number of farms up that way. And these guys raise the deer not necessarily for that, but sometimes... But primarily for the doe urine,
okay,
and the urine to make deer scent from.
Gotcha.
So, yeah. Anyway, I think at this point we're probably going to talk about Bay Country Crabbing Supply.
Good idea.
Edgewater. They have everything you need for recreational and commercial crab, and that's coming up here in less than a month. Now, Bay Fishing Tackle, too. Bay Country Crabbing Supply, located 214 Mayo Road in Edgewater, has stackable traps, commercial pots, rigged trot lines and trot line parts, live boxes and nets and ropes and buoys, stainless steel steamers, and a full line of Bay fishing tackle and gear. See Bay Country Crabbing Supply. And you can mark your calendars for April 14th. That's the open house at Bay Country Crabbing Supply, too. For more information, call them, 410-956-0300 for Bay Country Crabbing Supply. Waterman, bring your license in for your discount. Website, baycountrycrabbingsupply.com. You can see everything they have right there online, and then head to the store and pick it up. Bay Country Crabbing Supply. Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners rated number one, carry nationwide lifetime warranty. Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex premium bedliner or the Linex Extra. Both look great. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck, step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards. You get it. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner, truck gear, and accessories. Catonsville Linex, new location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford, 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Linex.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680, WCBM.
Hunter safety cards in the ashtray. Spent 223 shell case rolling in the floorboard. Her camouflage caps on the dash. Grunt call hanging from the rear view. Tanks drag rag and rubber mug boots and a bloodstained scent blocker shirt. With the tail cut out in the back. It sure smells a lot like dope in this Dixie cup. She knew just how to hurt me after we broke up. She shot my bow. She just rubbed the wind down and lit him up. In a field outside of town, squeezed all around. He hit the ground. Bloody drag marks is all I found. She shot my bow.
A couple things wrong with that, you know. Just a few things off. Just a little, you know, she rolled the window down, lit him up. I mean, you know, that's a little iffy. So, boy, the callers have been sparse this morning, haven't they? Oh, well, what are you going to do? Okay, so last Saturday we went to the National Outdoor Show. We went Friday night, yeah, okay. National Outdoor Show. Saturday continued on. We met a lot of nice folks, and we saw quite a few nice deer come in, folks bringing their deer in to have their antlers measured. We got one bear skull, which turned out to be a Boone and Crockett bear from up in Garrett County, shot by a local fellow down in Dorchester County, Ron Oberender. And that deer was 20 and 11/16 inches. Now, that's a way that you total, you get that total is pretty much length plus width. And, you know, we have a what they call a bear box. You just put it in there and it gives you, you know, it's like a slide rule or something, but it's big. You can put a skull down in there and, you know, length and width and calculates it and write them down and you're done. So Boone and Crockett bear, nice one. Nice one from Garrett County. Killed in 2015. Same year I got mine. Mine wasn't anywhere near that size. That deer, that bear weighed 520 pounds. Big bear. Not the biggest everyone killed in Maryland, but we had the state record sika deer on display. Tim Krause loaned us his deer head, which is pretty cool. And we had a number of nice sika deer come in. Our measure from down that way, Doug Wigfield, who has the sika seducer calls, and you know his marketing company is pretty cool. Doug was there. He did the sika deer scoring. Steve Keithley, who's Boone and Crockett, Pope and Young, he scored up a number of Boone and Crockett heads from across Maryland. Pope and Young, one big head. Ken Bloodsworth from up there in Centerville killed a nice Queen Anne's County deer that was... Gosh, I know it made Pope Young, but it was almost Boone and Crockett size. Big, non-typical, gnarly thing. And then Mr. Flowers from down there, Mark Flowers from down there in Dorchester County, he had a Boone and Crockett 10-point. Just some of these deer have never been scored before. And that's what we're trying to do with bucks, bears, and stags is bring critters out of the woodwork, you know. There's no really historical division in bucks, bears, and stags. We just want to bring the biggest heads from all across the state out, and we're going to put a record book out. We're going to showcase Maryland for its world-class whitetails, its unique sika deer, and, of course, its growing and quality bear population, too. So bucks-bears-stags.com, bucks-bears-stags.com. You want to take a look. We'll be at the Maryland Bowhunter Society benefit and banquet on Saturday, March 10th. We'll have a couple of our Pope and Young, Boone and Crockett scorers there. For anybody that's taken a deer, a bear, or sick a deer in any by any method, you know, with you know, firearms, a bow, muzzle loader, and we'll be glad to take care of scoring that up. The ultimate goal is to publish a record book here in Maryland called Maryland's Finest. So that's what we're going to do. That is what we're going to do. So emails are pouring in. What has this show come to? This sure isn't your old man's radio show. One week we're talking about, okay. What's the world come to? You know, your next thing you know, kids will be listening to rock music. I know. Yes, it's true. We talked about Buck Wood as, okay. Let's talk to Tom in Baltimore County. Morning, Tom. How are you, buddy? What's going on? Thanks for saving us today.
I'm good, brother. How are you doing?
I'm well. What's going on?
Yeah, I sure do miss those poacher reports from our friends south of the border.
Well, you know, they'll be back.
Waiting to hear them again.
So,
enjoy them.
So what's up?
That was about it.
That was it, huh?
Go ahead and stop the pain a little bit. Give you something to talk to.
No, well, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Yeah. Well, there's plenty of poachers out there. You know, they keep.
Yeah, that's
what
I was wondering.
Well,
got rid of them all, or what happened?
Well, you know, where all that stuff takes place is down there in Dorchester County, there at the bridge, outside of Fishing Creek, Cooper's Island, that area. And, you know, those folks are here during the summer, during, you know, work in that area.
Okay.
You know, whether they're part of the crab business down there, you know, the crab picking business or whatever it might be, you know, they're seasonal workers. So
look forward to the summer for another reason.
Yeah, they come in in April, they leave pretty much October, and you know, they'll be back next year. That's all.
Okay.
Or this year, excuse me.
I'll be looking forward to it.
We'll see what we can come up with, brother.
Hey, man.
Thanks, Tom. See you, buddy. Bye bye. There he goes. Okay. Joe in Westminster. Yes, sir.
Hi, Alan.
Hi, Joe.
Hi. Alan, you've helped me out a couple times with some humorous ones.
All right.
I have one for you.
Good.
Not half as good as yours, but I thought I'd throw it at you.
Well, I'll tell you a breakfast joke when I hear yours. Go ahead.
Okay. Why are birds that fly over the sea called seagulls?
Good question. What's the answer?
Because if they flew over the bay, you'd have to call them bagels. Sorry.
While we're on the food theme.
That's the best I can do. It's with the animals.
Joe.
Yeah.
Do you cook?
Little bit.
Okay. Do you ever cook Canadian bacon?
No, I eat it, but I haven't cooked it.
How do you keep Canadian bacon from curling in the pan?
You put an iron press on it.
No. No, you take away their little brooms. You still with me, Joe?
I guess. Tell me another one.
No,
Alex.
I can't. That's it.
Okay.
That's my best for the day.
All right, I'll let you know when I've got another one. All right, thank you, Al.
See you, buddy. Thanks, Joe. Bye-bye. You hadn't heard that one, Chris? That's a pretty good one. John, I can't read your whole email, but I love you, man. What?
Slowly. Everybody's waking up.
Yeah, they're waking up. They're getting there. They're getting there. Yeah. I was afraid I was going to have to call the show in today. How would that have worked if I'd have called you on the phone? And
I'd have to be live.
You'd have to be live.
And basically be the moderator, and you'd be the guest, even though you're running the show.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course. Well, you actually run the show. I just
We all know
that you're the genius, and I'm just
I'm the Wizard of Oz. Don't look behind the curtain.
Don't look behind the curtain.
No, you don't want to look behind the curtain.
Unfortunately, I have to look through the glass panel to see you so we can communicate verbal hand signals, whatever.
Facial gestures.
Yeah.
Somehow we make it work.
I had a producer one time that didn't know any hand signals.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's why he's not here.
Well, possible. I mean, he didn't. Never mind. Time management wasn't his strong suit. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680. I know you're just getting around to it. I understand. Oh. Anyway, Wednesday was the last day of rabbit season in the 2017-2018 season. And one of the writers for our Maryland Hunting Quarterly, our wild cuisine writer, her name is Carol Sherrington. She writes our wild cuisine column for the Quarterly, Maryland Hunting Quarterly, put together a ladies' hunt. And Tom Slavin from Upper Bay Gun Club said, now that deer and waterfowl season's over, come on up, hunt one of our leases. Got a lot of hedgerows on it, a lot of property, and should have some rabbits. So Charles Rodney, the rabbit hunter from Prince George's County, who I've hunted with on several occasions, brought his five beagles up there with, oh my gosh, they had funny names. There was Blue, and there was Rattler, and Hank, and a couple others, and some of these dogs I'd never hunted over, and some of them have retired, and some have passed away that I've hunted with Charles, but put those five beagles together, and we ran 11 rabbits, one holed up, the scent went cold on another one, but of the 11 we ran, we managed to bag 9 of them, and in some pretty thick brush, and it was a lot of fun. So let's talk to John in Catonsville, and I'll tell you more about the hunt later. Good morning, John. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Alan. How are you?
I'm well. What's up?
Hey, how many other coasts, how many other states on the East Coast have sika deer?
None. that's untrue. Virginia has some.
In Chincoteague area?
Yes, Chincoteague, Estee. Yes, that's correct. That's the only place that I know of.
Okay. All right, I had another question, but I forgot. I'm driving, so I got to be kind to my fellow drivers. I got to get off the phone. All right.
All right. Well, don't drink. I mean, don't text and drive.
All right, Al.
They're both just as dangerous, drinking and driving, texting and driving. Okay. So.
All right, take care.
Thank you, buddy. Bye-bye. Pete in Severn. Good morning, Pete. Uh-oh. Hey, Pete, you still there? Ah, nuts. That was me. Pete, call back. Pete in Severn, call back. We'll be more than glad to talk to you. And, yes, Robin is listening. She didn't join us this morning. She said I stole her joke. And that's true. I did steal her joke.
You're married. You can do that.
Really?
Yeah.
But you're going to get reminded of it.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Well, I know you can do
you
it.
You can do it, but yeah, yeah, you want to pay the consequences.
Yeah, there are consequences to every action. No question about that. So, yes. Well, anyway, so we arrive at the Charles and I met on Kent Island and drove up to Cecil County and met the crew there. And there were three ladies and Tom Slavin on the four-wheeler kind of following up. Me, and Carol's husband, Joel, and Charles. So there were four men, five beagles, four men, three women. There you go. Now we got Pete and Severn. Good morning, Pete. How you doing?
Hey, Alan. I'm doing great. How's your day going so far?
Kind of slow, but I kind of kicked you off there. Sorry about that.
Hey, big trains take a little time to get rolling.
That's true. Appreciate that.
You know, if you remember, I called. I'm a first-time fisherman. I haven't fished since 1960 when I was a kid, and we sold our companies, and I've been just having a ball, letting all the lures catch me so far.
Yeah, letting all the lures catch you, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, my gosh. I will never forget when I was a kid. My dad got hooked on fishing before I did. You know, I was 6 years old when he took me fishing for the first time. And he got hooked. And there was a store in Altoona, Pennsylvania, and there's another one. They since opened another branch called Uncle Joe's Woodshed. U-N-K-E-L, Joe's Woodshed.
Sounds like a good place.
It was a great place because it was privately owned, and they used the old country, like, ma and pa kettle stuff, signs, and, you know, you've seen, like, Ollie's and how they do their stuff now.
Yeah.
Uncle Joe's had that beat, you know, years and years ago. Well, you'd walk in, and they had all the lures laid out on tables and on the walls. And my dad fished in Canada. The guys that he fished with would go to Canada for, you know, northern pike and walleyes. And Dad would go in there, and he would buy, I couldn't imagine how many lures the guy had, but I have his old tackle boxes. And of course, I inherited that passion, and I haven't bought a fishing lure since at least last year. So, you know.
You got to get cranked up, man.
I got everything, but, you know, every time I'm headed out to go fishing, I'm going to buy something else. You know, I wonder how they bite on this, wonder how they bite on that. So
I found out, I like shopping at Bass Pro, but I like going to Clyde's, and I like Wonderful down there. That's just a prime example of a local business who can really provide us a service that's valuable and it's worth paying just a tad bit more for. But we went to Daniel's area and underneath the dam there and waited for about 2.5 hours. And I learned something very interesting about
What's that?
Fishing.
What'd you find
rocks.
Out?
Rocks eat spinners.
Yeah, rocks eat spinners. Oh, yeah. I learned that when I was 6 years old. I've been in Trout Streams in Pennsylvania. Yeah. MEP spinners, CP swings, yeah.
I mean, a couple of them I was able to wade over and go ahead and get my own out of there, but some of them was just, the juice wasn't worth the squeeze.
I hear you.
A couple questions for you.
Okay, let me help you with that a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay, replace that treble hook with a single hook.
Okay, just cut two of the hooks off?
You can cut two of them off, or just, I think there's probably a, you know, you could cut one off, cut it off at the eye and put a little split ring on there and put a single hook on there.
I see. Boy, there's an idea. Can you buy them with single hooks too?
Inline? Some of them. Some of the ones they use for trolling have single hooks. They have long shank hooks that you thread a night crawler on, but that's the eerie deary that I'm thinking of. But no, usually not. You know, you usually get the treble hook because, you know, you want to throw it. They're built for trout and panfish, you know. But
yeah, it was kind of hard to up by the dam, just not to know how deep the water was.
Right,
you sink down there. But it was, you know what? I've been longing to get outdoors for so long. Been listening to your show and stuff like that. Miss it so much. And I tell you what, I think a lot of the ills of people's minds would be healed if they just get outdoors a little bit, hear the sounds, look around, smell the scents and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
It's just great being out. We walked around for 2.5 hours. There was me and I was with a friend of mine who's my pastor. He hadn't been trout fishing since, but he's been in Maryland for 5 years. Had a ton of his life. And the good
news. Did you catch any fish?
The bad news was is that I didn't catch any fish, but the good news was is I only lost 3 lures. He lost 4 and he didn't catch anything. They just weren't biting. I can't figure that out, but I mean,
Yep, I get it. Well, you know, sometimes you invest in some of those little cheesy type trout baits, you know, like the power bait and that type of thing. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole way to rig up for that. Somebody was telling me about a Facebook page that helps you with that. It was started by a friend of his, Maryland Stream Fishing, Maryland Trout Fishing, something, some Facebook page. And the guy had a really good, like, video on there of how to rig up for trout for that particular area, that state park down there at Daniels.
Mm.
You know.
Yeah, so. Some of the people were using power bait. We just decided that day we were just going to traipse up and down the street, the river, and
just,
you know,
Yeah,
just enjoy it. I mean, rocks were nice and slippery. So
That's great. That's great. Yeah, now, are you only using inline spinners for those trout?
Yeah, just at the end of the line. Yeah,
okay. See if you can find some Castmaster spoons. It looks like it's just a slab-looking thing. With a treble hook on the end, you can get them in gold, you can get them in two-tone, you can get them in silver. Silver and gold seem to work best for me. They're about an inch and a quarter long. I'm not sure what size that is, but about a little over an inch, maybe inch and a half. And you want to, you just want to throw that out and just bring it back steadily. And then every now and then stop it, pop it, and bring it back steadily. And that's what you do with an inline spinner too. When you're reeling it, don't just throw out and don't let it sink. Number one, because you see what happens there. Throw it out and start reeling, you know, steadily, and keep the thing moving. You know, it can only be 3-4 inches under the water. It doesn't have to go all the way to the bottom on an inline spinner. Okay, but every now and then, just stop it for a second and pop it, and then start it back again. Make sure you feel the blades moving on it. When you stop that spinner or that lure at the end of the line and you pop it, that's a panic reaction from a bait fish that suddenly realizes it's being followed by a predator. Okay? Wow. So when you throw that spinner out, you reel it, stop it, pop it, and keep reeling it. Okay?
Okay, get the response.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, are you throwing downstream and reeling up?
We did both.
Okay.
We walked downstream and walked upstream and cast. And we.
No, I mean, are you throwing the lure downstream and reeling it upstream?
We did some both.
Okay. Best thing to do, throw it upstream and reel it. And as it drifts downstream, just keep reeling it in. When you get it in, it's going to be fully downstream. But throw it kind of at a 45-degree angle upstream and keep it coming. And that looks like a natural bait fish that's drifting with the current. And then when it gets to the end and stops, that's sometimes when it'll hit down at the very end of the swing. But I just keep coming, bringing it with you.
Gotcha. You say Castmaster?
Castmaster, Castmaster. That's right.
Okay. Go ahead.
But that's kind of the technique for spinner fishing in a stream.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I had one other question about Tuckahoe on the Eastern Shore.
A man
in my neighborhood that has a kayak, and he goes over and has a really good time catching fish over there.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know anything about that area?
Tuckahoe's, it's a beautiful area down there. Now, if you go, like, from the spillway down, it's pretty tough to do a kayak, but some of the places where it opens up, it's nice. It's nice fishing.
I actually have, I'm the one that bought the twin troller. It has two hulls,
like
motors.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say spillway, that's where the main body of water kind of goes into the
stream, correct. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. That's under the road there. But you know, they stock that heavily. They stock it, and there's a lot of fish in there. There's perch, white and yellow perch. There's chain pickerel. There's crappie. There's I guess there's some bass in there too. But you know, it's a pretty good fishery over there.
Yeah, he said he's caught quite a few bass in there. He says he just with the worm, you know, bouncing off the bottom, things like that.
Yep.
What suggestion would you have as a place to go? I've been to Centennial. Been to Daniels, went up to Piney Run.
Mm-hmm. All good.
Piney Run wasn't open last week when I went up there to put my boat in.
Yep.
So, but I got a GPS and wiring up, and I'm looking forward to it. It's exciting just being outside. I think fishing's great. I think catching fish is good, and eating fish is better than both of them.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Well, good talking to you.
All right, buddy.
And, keep at it.
Thanks for the call, buddy. Take care.
Yeah.
See ya. Bye-bye. There he goes. Clyde Sports Shop is ready for all your fishing. That's right. Whatever you want to fish for, Clyde Sports Shop has the bait. They have the tackle. They have the hardware. They have the terminal tackle. Anything and everything you would like to have for your fishing adventure. Clyde's is located at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. They got rods and reels and trout bait and shad darts and twisters and tubes and I mean, everything for perch. They got the shrimp, the minnows, the night crawlers, all the little baits for, what can I say? They got it all. And if you break something, they can fix it. You break your reel, they'll fix your reel. You break your rod, they'll fix your rod. You break your line, they'll put new line on for you. It's all that good. And mark your calendars for Friday, March 16th for the beginning of their 10-day sale. And we'll tell you more about that when we get closer. But, you know, they got licenses and I'm reading the list here. Perch, trout, bass, rockfish, everything. Can't say enough. 24-hour fishing hotline. They've got that too. They'll give you a little fishing report. 410-247-3474. 410-247-FISH for the fishing report. Stop by Clyde's again on Hammonds Ferry Road at phone number 410-242-6108. 410-242-6108 for Clyde's Sports Shop.
WCBM, Baltimore.
Well, as we kick off your weekend for today, partly cloudy, going to be still windy, some gusty winds out there with a high around 50, northwesterly at about 20 to 30 miles per hour. Might even see some gusts over 40 miles per hour throughout the afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy, 33. Tomorrow, mix of sunshine and clouds. Winds start to die down a bit with a high of about 52. By Monday, mostly sunny as we start the week, 52. Then Tuesday, might see some afternoon light rain with a high of 48. I'm Craig Ross from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
This is Alan Ellis for Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex spray-on bedliners. Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust in your bed. Your tools, your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt it. Choose the Linex Premium or the Linex Extra. Both look great. Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, you get it. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bed liner and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex. New location, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill, just off Security Boulevard across from Coons Ford. 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Linex. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Talk Radio 680 WCPM.
Now take down your fishing pole and meet me at the fishing hole. We may not get a bite all day, but don't you rush away. What a great place to rest your bones, and mighty fine for skipping stones. You feel fresh as a lemonade, sitting in the shade.
All right, full moon, man. I'll tell you, it's a good time to go fishing. Good time to go fishing on. Full moon on a new moon, two best times. Day or 2 days on either side of both is just fine for fishing, no question about it. So, but, you know, I wouldn't go out there in a kayak or a small boat today or even a big boat today. Nope, not till the wind dies down and everything calms down a little bit. So check it out. Whew. The Maryland Hunting Coalition benefits coming up on March 31st. At the Martins in Westminster. You can get your tickets online at mdhuntingcoalition.org. Tables for 8 people are $400. Individual tickets are $50. Couples are $90. The early bird 3-for-1 raffle package is a great value. You're going to buy raffle tickets anyway when you go. We've got raffles, bucket raffles, you know, for all types of gear. We have a bonus raffle for a bunch of, you know, a little better stuff, and then the top tier raffle. Well, they're all there. And then of course, live auctions, silent auctions, card raffles, walk around raffles. I mean, just all kinds of games too. We've got, anyway, check it out. Maryland Hunting Coalition, if you want to Google something, mdhuntingcoalition.org. We would love to have you there. It's at Martin's in Westminster. Great food. It's a bull roast with steamed shrimp and carved turkey and all the desserts and all the salads and, you know, free soda, free beer, free coffee, all that. Yeah, yep. So it's a great time. March 31st, noon to 5, Maryland Hunting Coalition. Look it up online. Get your tickets online. Or you can call us, send us an email, info@mdhuntingcoalition.org, or send me an email. I'll respond to you, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. That's ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. Folks, we invite you to come to Annapolis on the 7th. We need folks in the gallery for the Sunday hunting testimony in the house. Get out, stay out, stay safe.